So now today's verse is verse number 2. Topmost abode of Krishna, which is known as Gokula. It is eternally manifested through a portion of Krishna's infinite expansions known as Ananta or Balaram. Gokula Dham takes the shape of a unique divine lotus flower possessing thousands of petals and the core or the center of which is Krishna's own home. So basically you see in the Sanskrit it says Ananta, right? Ananta, Ananta Shesh, that's Balaram. So Ananta means Krishna's first expansion is Balaram. What does Balaram do? Balaram manifests the spiritual world in his form of Balaram, and then he expands himself into these Purusha avatars, and he manifests the material world. So that's his function. Balaram, he serves in many different capacities, but his function is to provide the holy abode for the Lord's pastimes. So that's what's told here. And where is that? What is it like? It's actually shaped like a lotus flower. It has the shape of a lotus flower with thousands and thousands of petals, which represent different, in some cases, different dhams, like Dwarka is one petal, Mathura is one petal. So in the center of all that is Gokul. Sometimes we see, it's described, there's different, like first we want to understand the position of Balaram. So Balaram, he's described in the purport, or the translation, infinitary aspect. Infinitary just means he's the infinite, he's the unlimited potency. It's called Sat, or Sandini. We say Satchit Ananda, so that's Sandini, Samvit, Ladini. So Sandini means the existence potency. Existence is eternal. Everything's existing. But for something to exist, it has to have some basis. It has to have some, you can say, shape or form or position. So that existence potency is Balaram. The first thing we want to talk about is Balaram. So Balaram, as is mentioned here, he does so many different sevas, which we always hear time and again. So his word, the word in the verse says Ananta. So Ananta refers to the five different expansions of Balaram. Balaram expands to be Krishna's in a personal way. He expands in one form of Ananta to be Krishna's bed and his shoes and his slippers. And then he expands as the actual land of Vrindavan. That's why when we say Vrindavan is a lotus flower, people ask the question, how is it possible for Krishna to go to Vamsivat and plays the flute? And then he doesn't even finish the song because he's playing on his flute. And by the time he's playing a love song, the Kam Gayatri is a love song. So he plays the love song with the names of the gopis in the flute, and for example, Rasleela. And then by the time he finishes the song, how long does the song last? You know, you all have CD discs and things like that. So 8 minutes, 10 minutes. So he plays his song, and in 10 minutes, the gopis come from Barsana or Yavat, and they arrive at Vamsivat. Now, how do you walk 40 kilometers in 10 minutes? It's like, how is it possible? So this is because Balaram, Krishna relies on Balaram to do all these different services. Although in our temple, we see that Balaram's leaning on Krishna. He's leaning on Krishna, right? When Prabhupada asked that question on his way to Vrindavan, he was riding in the car to Calcutta and he said, who's stronger, Krishna or Balaram? So some people said, well, Balaram's stronger. He's Balaram. He's holding everything up. He's one expansion is Sankarshan. He's supporting all the universes. As Ananta Shesh, each universe, each Brahmanda is like a just like a particle of, like a dust particle on your head. You're not even conscious of how many dust particles are on your head. So he's doing all these things. So he must be the strongest. And he killed, whenever there's a powerful demon like Dhenukasura, then Krishna steps back for a second and Balaram steps forward and kills him. So like that, they said Balaram's stronger. And Prabhupada said, no. Balaram's not stronger. Krishna's stronger. You see in our Vrindavan temple, Balaram's leaning on Krishna. He's leaning on Krishna. He's getting his strength. Because that's actually the fact. Balaram gets his strength from Krishna. Krishna expands as Balaram to perform different functions for his own Leela. So once he expands as Balaram, then he relies on Balaram to serve him in so many ways. So Balaram represents Guru Tattva. Guru Tattva is that tattva which engages the living entities or connects the living entities with the service of the Lord. So the first servitor of the Lord is Balaram. And he's teaching in so many ways. He engages in service in all different rasas. Primarily, they say that Balaram himself, as Balaram, as a coward boy, is in Vatsalya Ras and Sakya Ras. He's in the mood of a protective parent, like an older brother. But then he's a loving friend. They wrestle together and play together. But at the same time, then he expands in Madhurya Ras. Not as Balaram, but as Ananga Manjari, Radharani's sister. Radharani's little sister, Ananga Manjari. Ananga, she's an Anga, right? She's a limb of Radharani, Ananga. That's one just definition is given. So all these things are listed. There's some list here and an outline we have. It says that Balaram becomes Krishna's clothes, his shoes, his Brahmin thread, his chair, his bed, his house, etc. He expands his Sankarshan, right, to manifest the spiritual world. And then Sankarshan expands his Chaturvyuha to manifest the material world. And then Mahavishnu, and we already said all those other things. So that's the first aspect, the purport. It's talking about Baladeva. And then there's a whole discussion about uniquadrantal delineation of material universe and the triquandantal extensions of the transcendental infinitory field of the Almighty. Wow. If that doesn't put you to sleep, I don't know what will. So it's just kind of a expert way of confusing you with something you already knew. You actually, when you came into the class, you had a good bit of knowledge. But when you left, you were totally confused. What kind of learning process is that? Better you stay out of the class and you'll be more better off. But basically what this is all saying is that Balaram, he's responsible for all this kind of creative functions, the sandini, existence, creative functions. So Krishna has unlimited energies and they can be divided into, you have 100%. So 3/4 of Krishna's energies, Tripad Vibhuti, is in the spiritual world, right? All the unlimited spiritual planets and all the Vaikunthas and Gokul and Braja and all these things. And Balaram takes care of that. And then when it comes into the material realm, which is just a small portion of Krishna's total energy, then Balaram also acts in that capacity in the uniquadrantal extension. In other words, the 1/4. There's 3/4 and 1/4. 3/4 of Krishna's energy and potency of the Holy Dham and all that Vaikuntha, that's the spiritual world. And Balaram does that. He manifests that and provides that stage and setting for Krishna's pastimes. And then the material realm, which has, as this verse is explaining, it is the realm of pastimes for the Tathasta Jivas, but it's also a place where Krishna brings his holy dham. And that's what's told in the purport also, that Goloka, Vrindavan, and Gokula are the same. The spiritual world, and far beyond the Viraja River, and when Krishna comes himself to this world, these are the same. As above, so below. So we have Gokul in this world, and we have Golok in that world. So there's some differences, but there's some similarities. In other words, there's some statements in Garga Samhita that when Krishna was going to leave the spiritual world and manifest the spiritual world within Boma Vrindavan, then Radharani, she said, well, wait a minute. You know, you're going there, but what about me? You know, I want to go too. And what about Govardhan and the cows and Yamuna and all that? You can't just go without bringing those things. All right, so we brought all those things. So I brought Govardhan, he brought the Brajaraj, he brought everything. So the Gokul in the spiritual world, which is sometimes called Loka, Goloka or Gokul, that came down and manifested fully in this world. So what we see sometimes with some confusion, like this verse is trying to explain to us in the second paragraph, he says, the difference between these two planes is only in their location as high and low. Krishna plays the same part in Goloka as he does in Gokul. So when it's talking about Gokula, it means Boma Vrindavan, the spiritual realm manifested here that we can see. When he's talking about Goloka, he's talking about the spiritual realm there. Now, sometimes, first we can understand the difference. When we say Goloka, sometimes we can take a difference in terms of rasa. They're the same means that the same opulence, you know, in other words, the spiritual world here and the spiritual world there is the same, just like you see all these inconceivable things that are done here on this plane, in the material world. That's by Krishna's Achintya Shakti. You go to Dwarka, as you see with your eyes, is a few square miles. Right? It's only a few square miles. But when Krishna was there, there was millions and millions of palaces. So how do you fit millions of palaces in a small square area? This is Achintya Shakti. So this means that he manifested the full spiritual energy within this material world. And then the other example that's given is the bodyguards of Ugrasen. Maharaj Ugrasen, when he was in Dwarka, he had 10, what's it written here? It's 10 million or something. No, 10 quadrillion. 10 quadrillion bodyguards. Sounds like some of our people in Vrindavan, they have so many bodyguards. So, one time Sariputta said, if you were to take all those bodyguards of Maharaj Ugrasen and line them up back to back, you know, like they were just in a line as if they were marching like soldiers, they would go around the earth so many times. There's 10 quadrillion. They would make unlimited, a continuous line, because the earth is 25,000 miles around, you know, in what do you call it, circumference? I think so. You go around, it's 25,000 miles, which is, I don't know, quite a bit of kilometers, 40,000 kilometers. So if you line up all soldiers, they would make one continuous line all the way around the earth. In other words, there's a whole lot of bodyguards. But somehow they fit very conveniently into the land of Dwarka. And then, of course, in the chapter in Bhagavatam, chapter 28, when Krishna rescued Nanda Maharaj, the Brijvasis were having some doubt about who is this boy. He's doing so many phenomenal things and amazing things. And now he's just rescued Nanda Maharaj from Varuna, because Varuna took him there. And they thought Varuna was the god of the waters, a great demigod, so powerful, one of the great powerful demigods. God of taste and waters. So then they had some doubt, and then Krishna showed them, just there, sitting in Vrindavan, Krishna showed them the spiritual world. He said, yes, this is the same place, here and there. So in these different instances, Jiva Goswami cites, to show that in Gokul, in Boma Vrindavan, the Gokul in this material world, it is fully the same, non-different. It has all the Aishwarya, all the power, all everything of the spiritual world. They're one. But then, we see there's some differences. There's also some differences. So one difference is, when we talk about Goloka, as this verse mentions, that in the center of the Goloka, in one sense, means the spiritual world, which is shaped like a lotus flower, with thousands of petals. But as this verse mentions, the corolla, or the center of that, the karnikaram, tatkarnikaram tadhama. In the center of that lotus flower is Krishna's personal abode. So sometimes when the word Goloka is used, it refers to the Dwarka or Mathura, this Vaikuntha aspect. In other words, these are the outer petals of this lotus flower of the spiritual world. So in Goloka, you see, you have Swakya, like in Dwarka, and to some extent, and also in Mathura. Because Mathura and Dwarka are basically like Vaikuntha, but there's some different sweetnesses there. So when you go to Mathura, you go to Dwarka, you find a lot of Aishwarya, you find Swakya Bhav, which means the love between wedded husband and wedded wife. And then, so there's some difference there. Goloka has that. But when you come to Gokul, Gokul means Vrindavan. But then Gokul, as it says in this purport we just read, there's higher and lower, what does it say? The difference between the two planes lies only in their locations as high and low. So when you come to Braja Gokul, Boma Vrindavan, or Gokul Vrindavan that we see here, or you go to the center of the spiritual world, the Krishna's place of Gokul, you'll find three different aspects there. And as Rupa Goswami explains in Upadeshamrita, these aspects, these differences in Gokul are due to ras. So like he says, what does he say in that verse? He says, higher than Mathura, higher than Vaikuntha, where Krishna exists as Narayan, is Mathura, where Krishna had his birth. Then higher than Mathura is what? Vrindavan, where Krishna had his pastimes. Or Gokul, where he's born, and then Vrindavan, where he had his Ras Leela. Then higher Vrindavan is Govardhan, where Krishna lifted Govardhan and his Radhakund. So there you have Sakiras, Madhuryaras. So when you get to Gokul, there's a difference between Gokul and Goloka. Goloka means the spiritual world. Goloka implies, also includes Dwarka and Mathura. But then when you talk about Gokul, you mean a specific special part of the spiritual world. And Gokul has three divisions. There's Gokul, then there's Vrindavan, and then there's Braj, sometimes called Braja Gokul. Right? So what does this mean? That means when Krishna comes to Boma Vrindavan, or in the spiritual world, there's a place called Gokula. And Gokul is where Krishna manifests. He's born there as the son of Yashoda Nanda. And he displays his pastimes as a young boy in Vatsalya Ras, loving affection between mother and son, and some little bit Sakya Ras. But then, when Krishna moves to Chatikar, and then this Vrindavan side, then Vrindavan, he starts to exhibit other rasas. Because Vrindavan includes Nandagaon, Govardhan, Barsana, Chatikar. There he exhibits his Sakya Ras, cowherding, Gocharan Leela. He goes out with the cows and plays with them. Then in Nandagram and Varsana, you see that Krishna has his Vatsalya Leela with his mothers and fathers. And then he also has Sakiras and Dasiras. So this is Gokul, mostly Vatsalya Ras. Then Vrindavan, which is Nandagam, Chatikar, Varsana, Yamuna. This is Vatsalya Ras. Parental love, friendly love, and just, of course, servitude is always there, but that's underlying. And then the third part of Gokul is Braja Gokul. And this part, this is the most confidential part, which Rupa Goswami explains is the highest of all places is Radhakund. So in Radhakund, there Krishna, he's having his pastimes with the gopis in Madhurya Ras. And there is no other rasas there. No one can go there, no one's allowed there. So this is, the fullest meaning of Gokul is this. Although in the purport, Bhakti Sanat is saying, you should understand that this Gokula, this Boma Vrindavan, this Gokul, is non-different than Goloka, right? The spiritual world, Goloka. But what are some other differences that you have here? That you don't have in the Gokul. This is Boma Vrindavan. So in the Vrindavan in the spiritual world, what are some things that you have here that you don't have there?
Krishna's childhood.
Krishna's birth you have. Demons. What else? Demons. What else don't you have? Do you have here but you don't have there? Leaving Vrindavan. Of course, there's five things that are listed. First of all, in this Gokula and this Boma Vrindavan, the difference between this spiritual world and that spiritual world is here conditioned souls can enter this place. Conditioned souls, like us, we can enter the spiritual world, and if we have the Adhikar, then we can see the spiritual pastimes manifested here, which we'll discuss in upcoming verses. Or, when Krishna is in the material world, directly manifesting his Leela, as he was here 5,000 years ago, many conditioned souls that weren't his eternal associates or eternally liberated, they were here and they saw Krishna. But they thought, oh, he's nothing special. So they could see. So that's one difference. In the spiritual world, no conditioned souls can enter there. Only liberated souls. But here, we're here. Right? We're definitely conditioned. But we're in this is Boma Vrindavan, and this is the whole one of the points of this verse. There's no difference here. All the opulence, all the sweetness is here, especially Vrindavan is predominated by sweetness. And even if you, and another thing is there's no demons in the spiritual world. Sanatan Goswami says there's rumors of demons. There's some rumors, but they don't take any shape. And in the spiritual world, there's no wives. There's no husbands to the gopis. There's no Abhimanyu. There's just the mood. There's the mood. Just like there's sometimes we are overwhelmed by a certain feeling, and it creates a reality in us that doesn't even exist. For example, a child sleeping in his room, and he's a little bit afraid of the dark. You know, he's sleeping in his room, and then at nighttime, and then he sees the wind blows through his window, and it blows the curtain in a certain way. Then someone's there. Someone's come in my room. And he gets very frightened. Just because of some illusion, some movement of the curtain or some wind or something. So then he runs into his mother's room, and he's crying, and he jumps in her arms and he says, "Help, help, there's someone coming to catch me. There's some ghost or boogeyman or whatever you want to call it, depending on your culture. Some kind of, what are those things in Nandagram? How? Hows. The how means the boogeyman, or the boogeyman means some demon or some ghost or something. So a little boy runs in and he says, "No, no, there's someone there." And the mother says, "No one there. How are you?" No, he's sweating, he's shivering, he's crying. And then she comes in and she says, "Look, what? No, no, behind the curtain, he's there, he's hiding there." She turns on the light, opens the curtain. Where? Oh, gee, I thought there was someone there. I felt like someone was there. So that's what they mean by rumors of husbands, rumors of demons. The gopis in the spiritual world, they have a mood or feeling that, yes, there's a husband here in our house, and we're going to run away from him and meet illegally or without proper way with Krishna. And I hope we don't get caught, and I hope he doesn't see me, and I have to. This is all like in their mind, because basically reality is in your mind anyway. you create your reality in your mind, which means your ego or your sense of identity. So if you identify as being someone very special, then you try to act like someone very special. it's like your mind creates your reality. So the spiritual reality, there has to be the presence of these kind of so-called husbands, because there's parakiya bhav. How can there be parakiya bhav or illicit love or love outside of marriage unless there's some kind of husband? So there is some kind of husband. So there's no husbands, really no husbands of the gopis in the spiritual world. And there's no demons there. And then there's sometimes some stories. Sometimes the elderly gopis or Mornamasi, she says, there's Krishna killed this demon, and really, when he was in Boma Vrindavan, he killed these demons. Yes, and maybe they come here. Oh, maybe they come here. Bakasura comes here, Agasura. Oh, wow. Boy, I hope they don't come here. So there's like these rumors of demons, and then Krishna leaving Vrindavan to go to Mathura. So Sanatana Goswami says sometimes, like here he leaves. He leaves and he doesn't come back. He doesn't come back for 80 years or 100 years. Then he comes back at the very end of his, towards the end of his Dwarka Lila, Krishna comes back to Vrindavan after killing Dantavakra. So in the spiritual world, Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. That's the difference. Then there's no birth of Krishna in the spiritual world. He's always Navayovanam. But Jiva Goswami explains that the form, Krishna's, these pastimes of birth and demons, etc., they have some type of form in the spiritual world. There's like a compartment. There's a small compartment, a small room in Gokula where Yashoda has the mood that, oh, Krishna is my baby. Krishna is my baby. He's here with me as a baby. Although Krishna actually is Navayovanam. He's always 15 years old, moving here and there. But he says there's a mood, but the mood in the material world is much sweeter. There's an extra sweetness here. Krishna shows an extra sweetness in the material world. So why does he do that? Why does he, when he comes here, the gopis, their husbands take form, and Krishna leaves Vrindavan, and demons come there. So that special sweetness of these pastimes here is for the benefit of the conditioned souls to give mercy. These special features in this plane, Boma Vrindavan, is for mercy, for giving mercy to the conditioned souls, to attract them. Because these are aspects which are part of our reality. In other words, we have demons, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur represents that the demons are anarthas. So they have shape, they're real. They have shape and form, and Krishna comes and eliminates them. So these are some of the points that this verse and purport talk about. What are the differences between Gokula in this world, Boma Vrindavan in the spiritual world? One is that conditioned souls can approach Krishna here and even see Krishna here. Second is that there's demons here. The third thing is that the gopis, their husbands, take tangible form. They really have a form. They can be seen, and it's not a rumor. They're really there. Although in one sense, you never really see Abhimanyu. Abhimanyu is always sleeping in the barn. He's always sleeping in the barn, or he's out in the pastures chasing the cows. He never actually enters the house of Radharani, except once or twice some leelas are there. And he was only able to enter the house of Radharani, her personal apartment that was built by Vrishabhanu, because he had the association of Krishna. Because everyone knows you can only enter Krishna's leela by serving Krishna's confidential desires in a pleasing way. So by the divine arrangement of Krishna, he enabled Abhimanyu to one time enter Radharani's palace. And that Vishnu Chakravarti explains in Chamatkari Chandrika. Because Yashoda wanted to give a nice gift to Radharani, because Radharani was coming every day cooking for Krishna, doing so nicely, and Krishna was coming very healthy and very happy by her cooking every morning and breakfast time. So she took one trunk and she filled it full of jewels and saris and everything. And she's going to, and then Krishna and Balaram came, or Krishna, excuse me, Krishna came with Sridharam and said, "What are you doing? What is all this?" "Oh, I'm sending a trunk full of valuables and wealth to Yavat, to Radharani, because I want to show my appreciation and gratitude for her wonderful seva, cooking for you." "Oh, well, where's mine? You know, where's my gifts?" Because naturally, that's what children will think. "Hey, this is for him. What about me? You know, he's getting or she's getting all that. What do I get?" You know. So then she's, "Oh, no, I have another trunk. I have another trunk with so many things that I'm putting for you together. Don't worry." So Krishna said, "All right." And then somehow Mother Yashoda, she got distracted to another room. And then Krishna told his friends, "Quickly, empty all these things out of here. Take all these jewels, all these saris, everything out, and I'll get inside, and then you lock the trunk. And when Mother Yashoda comes back, say that everything's packed in, and we locked it in like that." So she comes back, she said, "Oh, is everything's packed?" And they said, "Yes, everything's packed." And she said, "Oh, who can carry this heavy trunk?" And she looked out her window, and just passing by Nandagaon, she saw Abhimanyu. He was chasing some bulls or something. She says, "Hey, Abhimanyu, I have a great gift for your wife, for Radharani. I have a whole trunk full of gold and saris and jewels and necklaces." He said, "Oh, great. And if you can just carry it to your wife." So he said, "Sure." So he, very heavy trunk, he picks it up, he puts it on his head, and he starts carrying it. And inside is Krishna. And Krishna has this huge smile on his face, because he's hearing everything from inside the trunk. "Oh, this is a very clever pastime. That Abhimanyu is carrying me, his arch enemy, to his wife's house to present me." So when Yashoda gave the trunk to Abhimanyu, he said, "Now you take that to Radharani. You take it into her personal chambers, like the queen and king always have separate chambers. You take it into her chambers and you tell her this one thing. You say, 'Oh, Radharani, This is a gift from Mother Yashoda. And she wants you to thoroughly enjoy the contents of this box. She wants you to wear these things around your neck. She wants you to enjoy these things to your full satisfaction. So Abhimanyu said, yes, I'll give the message. So Abhimanyu went to, so this is the one and only times that Abhimanyu, the so-called husband of Radharani, was able to enter personally into Radharani's domain, into her chambers. Because, why? Because he was doing service. What was the service? He was carrying Krishna. Unknowingly and indirectly, without his knowledge, he was carrying Krishna to meet with his wife, which is the last of all things he would ever want to do. He and his sister Kutila and his mother Jatila, they were always trying to frustrate Radharani's every wish and desire to meet with Krishna through various, escapades. So here he is, he carries in the trunk, this is so heavy. It must be so much gold and saris. And he puts it down. He goes into Radharani's private chambers. All the sakis are there, Lita Vishaka. And he puts it down. He says, this is a very, and then he tells the message. This is a very special gift from Mother Yashoda. This trunk is full of great wealth, the greatest wealth, the most satisfying objects, the most beautiful objects. So Mother Yashoda has commanded me to order you that you must enjoy the contents of this trunk to your full satisfaction. You must wear these things around your neck and hold all these things to your body and really enjoy these things. And so then he left because all sakis, it's the ladies' department. So he said, I have work to do. I did my seva, so he left. So then when he left, then all the gopis are there looking at the box and they're feeling very strange. They're saying, I don't feel like that. It seems that, what is in that box? Because my hair is standing on end, and I'm feeling shivering, and my voice is choking up. And I have so many saris, and so many necklaces, and so much gold. But when I get next to my saris and gold, I don't have these, ecstatic transformations. So Lalita looks at Radharani, she says, I don't know, I think there's something funny going on here. So then they go to approach the box, open up the treasure box. Krishna in the box, right? Then Krishna jumps out. Haribo! And then they go, oh no! And then Radharani, because she had her head uncovered, and she sees Krishna, and she immediately exhibits her laja, and she covers her head with her sari, and she just storms off. She's, what's this? Where's my gifts? Not this guy. She just walks away, she just storms, goes, oh no! And then she walks and sits on her dais, on her throne, and with her head covered, looking the other way, completely disgusted. So then Lita Saki was always joking. She says, oh, Radharani, don't you remember what Abhimanyu said? You can't disobey the orders of Janani. You can't disobey the orders of Mother Yashoda. Remember what Abhimanyu just said. You have to enjoy the contents of this trunk to your full satisfaction. And you have to wear these things around your neck. And she says, shut up, be quiet, just get him out of here, So then just the whole thing goes on. So this is the one time when Abhimanyu could enter into Radharani's palace. So here on this plane, these are the differences. That there's husbands for the gopis, and the Krishna's taking birth, and leaving Vrindavan, I think that's five. The Brihad Bhagavatamrita was quoted in this purport, and maybe it's not so clear what it says, but I have a little note I can read about it. That in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatan Goswami explains that Krishna plays the same way in Goloka as he does in the mundane plane. An example is given of Gopakumara. Gopakumara is this errant Brahman who's traveling throughout the universe chanting his mantra. His 10-syllable Krishna mantra. So when he travels from Gokula, in other words, he's in Boma Vrindavan, and by the power of his mantra and his guru's grace, he's able to travel all the way to the spiritual world, to Goloka Vrindavan. And when he gets there, he sees all the same things in both places. The same hills, Govardhan Hill, the same couple of richer trees, gopas, gopis, Krishna's associates. And they all have similar potencies that Krishna has. He sees that Nanda and Yashoda are there, displaying parental affection. And so he sees, wait a minute, I've just left Nanda and Yashoda, they're simultaneously here in the material world in Gokula and also in Goloka, in the spiritual world. because this Goloka also means, you know, Gokula in the spiritual world. But in this verse, Gokula refers to Boma Vrindavan, and Goloka means Gokul in the spiritual world. So then I cited that pastime from Garga Samhita. So now the problem is, why can't we see all these things? And I have a nice quote from Prabhupada. We're living here, and there's no difference between this Boma Vrindavan that we're living in when Krishna was here, and Prabhupada comments on that. He says, even demigods like Indra couldn't understand that Boma Vrindavan was a spiritual place, actually non-different from the spiritual world. In 1972, Prabhupada brought his disciples to Braj for Kartik. Disciples were complaining about the stool everywhere and the pigs. Then Prabhupada said, you're not seeing Vrindavan. It is eternal, transcendental, Chintamani. There is no difference between the spiritual Goloka and the earthly Goloka. This Goloka that you see here, Boma Vrindavan, or Gokula Vrindavan, is bigger than all the spiritual world together. So Gokula, this Boma Vrindavan, is a Chintya Shakti. Just like a tiny tree contains a huge banyan tree. That was Prabhupada's quote. So, no, that's it. We can't, fully appreciating Krishna's Achintya Shakti and coming to that platform, we can never actually realize. And the purport concludes, I'll read it and you can understand. Basically what this last paragraph is saying, you can see Vrindavan when you attain Swarup Siddhi or Vastu Siddhi. Swarup Siddhi means that you're in this material body, in the material plane, maybe here in this Vrindavan, but by your bhakti you come to the threshold of prema. So when you attain Swarup Siddhi, you can see that this Gokula, Boma Gokula, is non-different from the spiritual world. You can see Krishna's pastimes. So the phrase, what this is saying here, in maybe a little bit confusing English, I can read another translation of it. Is that when you're in Swarup Siddhi, in this Gokula, you see Goloka. And when you're in Vastu Siddhi, you see Goloka. You see Gokula and Goloka. That's what it says. So what does that mean? Vastu Siddhi is when you actually enter into the spiritual world in a full spiritual body. Then you'll see that this spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan or Gokula, is non-different than the Gokula manifested here. But now, when we attain Swarup Siddhi, we're sitting here in Vrindavan, but we'll see the spiritual world manifested here. When we attain Vastu Siddhi, we'll see that there's no difference. There's a slight difference. So this is the final point of the purport. And then in the purport, it quotes Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So those verses are listed here. We could just read what Gopakumar's experience was when he traveled. This is excerpts from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. It is nature of Goloka that they who live there never wish to leave it, even if they cannot have Krishna's company there. Torment or anxiety felt there dances again and again on the heads of all happiness. Grief felt there is better than the greatest bliss. Staying there always, attaining an eternal result beyond what I could desire, and my heart always feeling fulfilled, I never became satiated or totally fulfilled. With my senses and limbs, I cannot for even a moment leave Krishna's lotus feet, which are anointed with a kunkum from the Braja Gopi's breast. And that, in this very poor person, the Lord's mercy has placed faith in his sweetness. What by others cannot be spoken, I have somehow said. This is Gopakumar's experience. Staying for a long time in Goloka, that means in the spiritual world, in Vrindavan, the spiritual world, I came to see that it was the same as the beautiful Mathura Mandal in this material world. Mathura Mandal is also filled with the same gopas, gopis, birds, worms, hills, rivers, trees, and everything else. It is eternally decorated with the same pastimes of Sriman Krishna Chandra. Sometimes I stay there, and sometimes here, I do not see any difference between them. There and here, I mean, sometimes Gopa Kumara was in Goloka in the spiritual world, and sometimes in Gokula in the material world. Only when coming from one and going to the other may I see a slight difference. Attached to both places, I do not know any difference between them. Neither my eyes, ears, nor mind touch any place other than these two abodes. My heart does not think. Krishna stays in other places also, and his devotees also stay in other places. When sometimes I see the Vaikunthavasis or other places, I see them as being tormented by separation from Krishna. Sometimes I see that their love is not like the love of the people of Braja feel. From that I feel distressed love and then the highest happiness. I offer my obeisances to the people of Goloka, who eternally see the glories of that abode, and who are worshipped by the resonance of all the worlds. How can I describe them in words? So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's one verse also, describes the equal nature of Gokul and Goloka. It's in Adi Lila, chapter 5, verse 20. Ramande prakashatara krishnera echai eka I surupatara nahidu ekai. The abode of Krishna manifested within the material world by his divine will is identical with the original Gokula. They are not two different bodies. So, Prabhupada's purport, he says that the holy abodes of the Lord are movable by the omnipotent will of Krishna. When Krishna appears on this earth, he can also make his holy Dhamma appear without changing their original structure. One should not discriminate between the Dhammas on earth and those in the spiritual sky, thinking those on earth to be material and the original abodes to be spiritual. All of them are spiritual. Only for us who cannot experience anything beyond matter in our present conditioned state, to the Dhams and Krishna himself in his deity form appear resembling matter before our eyes. With that, they appear before us to give us a facility to see spirit with material eyes. So how do you see spirit with material eyes? So the Archamurti, as he says here, when your material eyes are coated with prema, then you can see that the deity of Krishna is Krishna. And then you can see that this Dham, which manifests in the material world, is non-different from the spiritual world. In the beginning, this may be difficult for a neophyte to understand. But in due course, when one is advanced in devotional service, it will be easier, and he will appreciate the Lord's presence in these tangible forms. Tangible means touchable. We can touch the deity, we can cook for the deity, serve him. You can touch the land of Vrindavan, you can go to Bamsivad, you can go to these places. So this is a matter of transcending our limited perception. Our perception is always limited by length, you know, what we can see, measure, length, width, and depth. It's called three-dimensional perception, as mentioned in the purport. Our three-dimensional perception doesn't enable us to see the fourth dimension. So the fourth dimension that we can see, which is a spiritual dimension, when we transcend the three dimensions. That's what bhakti is all about. Bhakti gives us the ability to transcend length, width, and depth and come to the actual spiritual reality. So these are the subjects of this verse, number two. If there's any questions? Conditioned souls can have access. In other words, conditioned souls, here, somehow here we are. By Sukriti or by good fortune, we're born in a planet where Krishna's pastimes are going on in apricot, unmanifested. And some jivas, they have an opportunity to be born. They have so much sukriti, they can be born on the material planet where Krishna's pastimes are going on manifest, visibly. It says in the Battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna was manifest right there in the material world, but only 200 people knew that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There was 18, how many Akshohinis as soldiers? 18 Akshohinis. You know, seven on one side and 11. There's like thousands and millions, you know, thousands and thousands of soldiers and people, but only 200 people understood, yes, this Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they were here, but they didn't have that good fortune. So we're here, but what do we understand? Oh, look at the water has foam in it. Oh, look at that. Look at this. We're not penetrating the externals. But by Guru's grace and by Nam Kripa and by our surrender, we can actually see the real Vrindavan here. We can see in this Boma Vrindavan, we can see Gokul. It's like you see the pastime example of liberated souls. They're sitting here in this Boma Vrindavan, but they so much experience a non-difference that sometimes they bring the, they engage in, they're meditating here on holy Leela, which goes on, color throwing goes on at Radhakund in the afternoon. So they're sitting there, right there. You can see Radhakund. And then there's so much entering the spiritual world of Radhakund, where holy Leela is going on. When they wake up, there's all colors all over their dhoti, colored powders and colored liquids. Because they went there, and when they were there, they got colors thrown on them. And then when they came here, they, whoa, I better change my clothes. What are people going to think? All these colors. So those liberated souls, they're able to, there's no difference. They travel from one to the other. They see the pastimes, they partake in the pastimes. And how we come to that platform is discussed tomorrow and in the next few days about mantra upasana and saurasiki and all these things. These tattvas, all tattvas are unlimited actually. So it depends on how far your interest goes. Then you'll go into these things. Basically, the interest, our only tattva that we're interested in is nam tattva. If we perfect our understanding of nam tattva, then all the other tattvas will be revealed. Isn't it? Because the holy name is everything. The holy name is Radha and Krishna and Gokul and Golok and everything. So Guru is there, we're there, everything is there. So, but we study all these different tattvas. They're in Prabhupada's books. So Guru Tattva, Balaram, he's showing. He's the personification of Guru Tattva. How to serve Krishna. Guru means what? Guru means expert servant. Right? Just like Lalita Sakhi is a guru. And Radharani's guru. Radharani's called the Prema Guru. She's a guru of Prema. And she has a student. His name is Shyam. And he learns from her about the intricacies of transcendental love. He doesn't understand, so she teaches him. So guru is always, so guru means that personality who helps you do service to Krishna, engage in service. So Balaram, he does so many services. So if you want to get the mercy to do service, so you want to link yourself with service, you go through Guru, you go through Nityananda, you go through Balaram. Thank you very much for your kind attention.